Yelton, we have a podcast.
Diving deep into all things Texas, both on and off the field. Here's Sean Pendergast.
Welcome to Utopia.
Hey everybody, welcome in. It is a early week game preview edition of the Utopia Football Podcast. Thursday night football. So we're doing a game preview early this week. You're probably listening to this on a Wednesday, maybe a Thursday. I'm recording it on a Tuesday. We know everything we need to know pretty much about this matchup going into it. What with the news of Stephon Diggs being out for the season with a torn ACL. I don't know that Diggs, even if the ACL was not torn, I don't know if Diggs was going to factor into this game or not. I would suspect he would not have, just based on it being a knee injury in a short week. But as we know, Stephon Diggs will be out for the season. Who knows? By the time you're listening to this, maybe the Texans have made a trade for a wide receiver or some other position. I'm sure Nick Caserio will be working the phones. Although one of the things that has happened in between me recording the mailbag earlier and recording this episode is that Deontay Johnson did get sent to the Baltimore Ravens. I was doing the mailbag episode a few hours ago as if Deontay Johnson were still out there. I was doing it just minutes after the news came out about Stephon Diggs. And Deontay Johnson went to the Ravens. He's probably the biggest name that was available. Now that we know that Cooper Kupp probably is not available from the Rams, I wouldn't trade Cooper Kupp if I were the Rams. And there's a whole lot that goes with trading Cooper Kupp contractually and everything else. Not to mention it's probably better picks you need to give. Deontay Johnson went from the Panthers to the Ravens, and the trade was basically Deontay Johnson and a six for a five. So the Panthers basically move up, like they're estimating, you know, depending on draft order, if the order holds as it is right now, they move up like 19 spots in the middle of day three. And they're picking up most of the tab on the salary too for Deontay Johnson. They're paying like $3 million of the $4 million that he's owed. Like, I think that the Ravens are going to pay him like $625K for the rest of the year. So it's a good trade for the Ravens. It didn't cost them anything. 19 spots on day three. Who gives a shit? And $625,000 in this day and age to take a flyer on a guy that's really talented. And the Ravens are an organization that I think is okay with bringing some guys with some baggage into the building. They feel they can withstand that. So I think it's interesting that that is theoretically the best offer that the Panthers got for Deontay Johnson. Talented guy who seems to be a bit of a head case, if not a turd. So he's not available anymore. I think the price that he ended up going for being so low tells you what the rest of the league thinks of Deontay Johnson. The locker room presence, it's not good. And I know for a fact that, you know, D'Amico and Nick Caserio are very protective, I think, of the culture of the team and the ethos in the locker room. And that was a big question when they traded for Diggs was, wow, okay, this doesn't seem like the type of guy you'd trade for. And as it turns out, as we learned about Diggs, is that when he's feeling right, when he's not feeling disenchanted, he's a great guy to have around. Good leader, hard worker, loves practice, all those things. I don't profess to know all the deepest, darkest secrets of Deontay Johnson other than the fact that he's done some press conferences where I go, okay, well, that guy seems selfish. He drops balls at times. That's not good. You don't like that. So the Panthers dump him on the Ravens. So that's the latest bit of news that we have in between the time I recorded the previous episode and now. One of my projects for tonight will be to go through the rosters, the wide receiver depth charts of some of the teams that are clearly either going to be sellers or are selling already. I mean, there's five or six teams that have already basically put a tag sale sign out in front of their stadium and said, you know, come on in and go through our wares, see what you think, all that stuff, haggling, making deals, you know, that sort of thing. So we'll keep an eye on that. In the meantime, let's get to this Jets matchup and let's do a quick six pack for you guys here. Of course, let's lay the groundwork. You can hear the game on Sports Radio 610. Let me get the exact kickoff time. I never know if it's 7:20 or 7:15 So I'm going to be exact about this, and let me pull it up. Week NFL, week 9, 7:15 on Amazon. So there you go, which means 7:15 on Sports Radio 610 on the radio. That means Texans Countdown starting at 4:15. You'll have me and Seth Payne for that. And then Clint Sterner and I will be doing a postgame show into the wee hours of the morning on Sports Radio 610 and on the Odyssey app. And I will be there at 6 a.m. bright and early Friday morning to talk about the game as well. If you don't care to stay up super late to listen to us talk about it. Spread on the game is 2. The Jets are 2-6. The Texans are 6-2. And when I say the spread on the game is 2, it's the Jets minus 2. As of this morning, let me just double check right now. And it's, yes, still Jets holding steady at minus 2. I've got a lot of thoughts on this, and I've got a prediction I'm going to give you in the pregame six pack here, but Jets being minus 2, a lot of you are maybe wondering why, like why they're, I thought they were shitty. They're 2-6. All I see on Get Up and First Take is just how awful Aaron Rodgers is. He's awful. He's an awful human being, but I would say this is how I'd look at the Jets. I may have said Ravens once or twice in there. If I did, I apologize. The Jets, is that they're 2-6, but their kicker is awful. And I don't want to rob from the six pack here, but they're a 2-6 team that's very dysfunctional, but also very close to being 4-4 or 5-3. They're not a horrible, horrible football team. There are awful 2-6 teams. They are, and if you're 2-6, inherently you're not very good. But they, you know, for example, like I said, their kickers lost them a few games. The game they beat the Patriots this past weekend, they lost 25-22. This was the first time that a team in NFL history has lost a game when they've scored more than 20 points, given up less than 250 yards, and not turned the ball over. The Jets did those three things. Prior to Sunday, teams that did that in NFL history, that combo, were 750-0. They're now 750-1 because the ratchet-ass Jets with their doofus interim coach and their awful ownership and their ratchet front office, they managed to lose that game to the Patriots. They managed to do that. They lost a game that had elements to it that 750 teams were able to achieve success under before. So with that said, let's get into the six-pack, and I start off with number one, Joe Mixon. Just keep running the football. Keep feeding Joe. No Nico in this game. Obviously, Diggs out for the year. And they're going to need to run Joe Mixon. You know, this is a Jets defense that can get after the quarterback. They're going to have to run the ball well to keep the Jets defense honest. The Texans don't have a ton of man beaters right now out there in terms of wide receivers. So they're going to have to block this thing up, run the football so they can set up play action and get guys open. Tank Dell is really the only guy they have that can beat any sort of man coverage, and the Jets have good cornerbacks. As soon as Nico went down last year in this Jets game, a game Tank was already missing from because of a broken leg, the Texans couldn't get open the rest of the day. 30-6, they wound up losing that game. So run Mixon. Run him. This will. I hate to say this about a game where you're going against a 2-6 team, and I hate saying it about a running back running on this surface at MetLife Stadium, especially when it's my running back, Joe Mixon. But this needs to be one of those 25, 28, 30 touch games for Mixon. You got to keep this momentum going, and you got to find a way to win this game in New York with a depleted wide receiving core. And Joe Mixon's ready for it. So that's number one. That's can number one in the six pack. Can number two. Win the chess match. This dawned on me today as I was looking at that 2-point spread. The Jets, 2-6, circling the drain, fired their head coach, and by proxy, fired their defensive coordinator, because that's who the head coach was. He also coordinated their defense. I think this spread on this game and the previewing of this game is the ultimate disrespect to DeMeco Ryans and his coaching staff, but mostly to DeMeco Ryans. You're telling me DeMeco Ryans should be an underdog? A 2-point underdog to a 2-6 team that is coached by an interim head coach who, in his first game as a head coach, didn't know how to throw a challenge flag? You're telling me DeMeco Ryans should be an underdog to a defense that basically fired their coordinator a few weeks ago. The guy who's coordinator by name is now the interim head coach. He went from being a puppet defensive coordinator to being a bad interim head coach. You're telling me that D'Amico Ryan should be a 2-point underdog to an offense whose staff employs Nathaniel Hackett? I know that Nathaniel Hackett was demoted. He was demoted for the recent OC of the Titans, who was arrested for DUI driving home from the charter flight after a road game in the middle of the night. Charter flight landed back in Nashville. He gets popped. That's their OC. That's their staff. Their staff is a shitty interim head coach who doesn't know. They burned all their timeouts in the first half, in the first quarter, in the game against the Patriots. When have you ever seen that? All three timeouts because they didn't know how to get a play in. They didn't know how to get lined up. They didn't know there was a play clock, I guess. You're telling me D'Amico Ryans is losing to a staff that has Jeff Ulrich as their interim head coach, Todd Downing as their OC, Nathaniel Hackett as a card-carrying employee of the team? No. Now, you better score a touchdown or two in the second half, D'Amico, after I took up for you just now on this podcast. And you too, Bobby. Really more Bobby than D'Amico on that. I mean, this is unacceptable in the second half of these games. So you got to win this chess match. This is not a good coaching staff on the other side. The roster is circling the drain. We don't know how many guys are still holding the rope. They may be making vacation plans already, but you've got to find a way to score points in the first half and the second half. Score touchdowns in the first half and the second half. I know this is a lot to ask. It's a novel concept, touchdowns in both halves. But for those of you who think I'm being hard on them, the Texans have scored 6 total touchdowns in the second half of football games this year. They played 8 games. They scored 6 touchdowns in the second half, and 4 of them came in 2 games. 2 against the Colts in week 1, 2 against the Patriots in week 6. The other 6 games, they've scored 2 fucking touchdowns in the second half of those games. It's unacceptable. It's embarrassing. And it's indicative of a coaching staff that maybe has trouble, at least on offense, making the appropriate adjustments. And it's also indicative of a defense that is bailing an offense out on a regular basis. Good for the defense. Now, score some goddamn points in the second half of this game, please. All right, that's can number 2. I feel strongly about our coaching staff being superior to the Jets coaching staff, and yet this coaching staff can't score touchdowns in the second half of games. It's ridiculous. All right, can number 3. Texans cornerbacks versus the Jets wide receivers. If there's a position of strength with the New York Jets, it is the wide receiving core. Garrett Wilson, Devontae Adams, Alan Lazard's been on the injury list this week, but he's had a good season. He's scored a bunch of touchdowns this year. They do have guys that can get open. They do have guys that are talented. You know, Devontae Adams, when healthy, is one of the best wide receivers in football. Garrett Wilson is a year removed from being offensive rookie of the year. He was the offensive rookie of the year before CJ was, for CJ Stroud. So I am very anxious to see the Texans cornerbacks, Derek Stingley and Kamari Lassiter, man up on their top 2 wide receivers. And then it's incumbent upon Jalen Petrie. If he gets stuck in coverage, he's got to be stickier. He had a pick last week, but that wasn't a pick where it was like sticky man type of stuff. You know, Jalen Petrie has been getting beat on occasion covering out of the slot. That's still a concern. So to me, the positional matchup that I'm most looking forward to is the Texans cornerbacks against these New York Jets wide receivers. Texans corners have been very good this year. Very good, in my opinion. I would align that with the pass rush. If the pass rush can get after Aaron Rodgers, he ain't the Aaron Rodgers of old where he's running around and he's got underrated athleticism and he can scramble for 15 or 20 yards. He's old as fuck and he plays like it. So the pass rush needs to be there to help out the guys on the back end, but I'll be watching the guys on the back end. Number 2. No, wait.
1, 2, 3.
No, number 4. Number 4. Sorry. Kicking game. Texans have a major, major advantage in the kicking game. And the Texans play in a lot of close games where kicking game is going to matter. Greg Zuerlein, the kicker for the Jets, sucks. He sucks donkey balls. He's terrible. So he's lost a couple of games for them this year. He missed a field goal that would have beat Denver earlier in the season. Instead, they lose 10-9 at home. Ugh. 10-9. Ugh. What a horrible game to go to. And then he hit the upright on two kicks against the Bills in Ulrich's first game as head coach. And he's missed other kicks this year, too. He's not good. He sucks. So you've got Kyme Fairbairn, who's the best kicker in football this year. Major advantage in the kicking game. If this thing is close in the fourth quarter, I feel good about the Texans being able to pull it out like they do seemingly all the time. That's number four. Number five, protect C.J. Stroud. Until you prove that you can protect C.J. Stroud offensive line, that's going to be on the list of things to watch every week until you prove you can do it. He was under more pressure against the Colts than he was against the Packers the week before. And in the Packers game, it felt like he was scrambling and running for his life on every single play. But by the numbers, he was under even more pressure in the Colts game. He played better in the Colts game than he did the Packers game because, you know, he had a week of Packers pressure the week before to adapt to life with eight grown men chasing you every play. He was way better. CJ, I still contend that Sunday's win over the Colts was one of CJ Stroud's best games because of how he handled the pressure in that game. The pressure from the Colts defense, the pressure in the pocket. He was outstanding. He's so good, which is why you need to protect his ass. Because if any more games like the ones we've had the last two, and he's going to get hurt. He's going to get hurt. And he got hurt on this very turf last year because Juice Scruggs couldn't block Quinnen Williams. Got to block, man. Got to protect C.J. Stroud. All right, final can prediction. I'm going to go Texans 19, Jets 17. And the difference will be kicking game. 19. I think Kyme's kicking four field goals. I think the Texans red zone struggle. I say red zone struggles. They've been okay in the red zone this year. I think I'd have to go back and look at the numbers. Now they botched the red zone last week when they had settled for a field goal to get to 23 and then fumbled a ball that could have been a put away touchdown drive. I think they struggle in the red zone. I think Kyme kicks a bunch of field goals. I think they win 19-17 in this game. So that's what I've got. Big thanks to Anthony Irwin, our producer, who gets this podcast out to you guys on a prompt basis. The next one that you get after this will be a recap of the game on Friday sometime. It'll be on Friday, but I don't know if I'm going to record it right after the post game. That'll be 1 or 1:30 in the morning, so we'll see how I'm feeling. But you will have a podcast on Friday next week recapping the game, looking ahead to the following week. And then there's a weekend off for all of us from football. I, myself, going to the Golden Nugget. I'm going to sit in a sports book. I'm going to drink. I'm going to gamble. I'm going to eat dinner with my wife. I'm going to have a good time. And that's what I'm going to go do. So if any of you are going to the Nugget and you see me there, say hello. But again, thanks to Anthony Irwin. Thanks for all of you for downloading the podcast. A reminder to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. And a reminder as well, if you want to send an email, HOUmailbag@gmail.com. So until after the game on Thursday, everybody enjoy yourselves and appreciate you tuning in. Have a fantastic week and go Texans on Thursday night.